to enable me to teach and to preach your word as an oracle of God. Not speaking my own words, but speaking those words that you put in my heart and in my mouth in the name of Jesus. So your word will flow like a stream of living water, bringing life, bringing refreshing, Lord, bringing hope and causing our blind eyes to be opened, deaf ears to be unstopped, limbs to leap as a heart, and the tongue of the dumb to sing for joy. Amen. And sing in victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. That Father, you will help us to lift up our heads and know that our redemption indeed draweth nigh. And as we lift up our heads, that we will see you as you really are. As your word goes forth, let our wills be more humble. Let our minds be more illuminated. That you would take us up into the heavens. That we will no longer see as mere mortals, but we will see even as you see in the name of Jesus. And let our emotions be further tempered and controlled by the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because I recognize, Lord, my dependence on you. I strip myself of every confidence in my knowledge and my preparation. Holy Spirit, I need you, Lord. Come and lead me. Come and show me. Come and teach me. As I go forth, Lord, help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. Not speaking unnecessary things, but saying only those things that you would have me to say. As a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth things old and things new to the praise of your glory, that this word will be a blessing to the hearts of my spiritual parents. It will edify and strengthen my brethren, and it will cause his entire body to arise. Lord, that will be more motivated and strengthened to break forth and take the battle to the gates. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, dropped a word in my heart earlier, and it's entitled Exercising Godliness. Exercising Godliness. There is a war going on. It's a war between godliness and ungodliness. And there are no middle grounds. There is no fence. The fence is only in your mind. It's a real battle. And the signs are there, unmistakable signs, that we are under a siege. But right as the gross darkness is coming upon the earth, there is gross light. Amen. Amen. There is gross light. And God wants us to shine. And the Bible says that as we shine, the darkness, no matter how dark it is, will not be able to comprehend the light. So light is stronger than darkness. God is stronger than the devil. And it's all about what is going on in our minds. Amen. Right now, as we see Satan, let me start with us. The man-child company of which you're a part. Amen. I'm believing God that you and I are a part. I know I'm a part. I'm believing God that you are a part. You are not saying it for yourself, oh. You are a part in Jesus' name. Now, the man church up has dethroned Satan in the heavens. In the second heavens, his position there is not yet in full physical mind, but we are tapping and we are tasting of the powers of the ages to come. And so, right now in the heavenlies, Satan's position has been taken over by the Zion Church. Amen. And we're releasing great power in the heavens to enforce the kingdom of God. Pastor taught us that 2 or 3 weeks ago about the kingdom and righteousness. It's a beautiful word. That there's a kingdom, the power of the kingdom is the power of righteousness, peace, and joy in the air. Enforced by the Holy Spirit. And that power is coming from outside. And then there is also the power of righteousness on the inside. That is coming by the confession of sin. So that we can clean our hearts with the blood. And then receive the life of God. And then have that power, be empowered by that life, to be able to do righteousness. So that power is already there. And you can see it In Revelation 12, verse 7, we'll just read it quickly. Revelation 12, trust you're with me. Amen. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels, next verse, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Okay, so functionally, we are enforcing this in the heavens. Every morning you wake up, you do it. You break that power. And you create room for the life of God and the power of God to flow down on the earth. Next verse. And the great dragon was what? I can't hear you. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Next verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heavens, now is come salvation and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is what? Cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Next verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's three weapons: the blood, the word, and the spirit. Next verse. Therefore rejoice where? Rejoice where, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. There's some people that are dwelling in the heavens. Jesus was on earth and he said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. You can be positionally on the earth, but functionally in your mind, you are living in the heavens. He's talking about you there. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, if you are living in the earth in your mind. It's very important. And of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. So there is the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Coming on the air, on the outside. There is strength coming on the inside by the life of God. So we can walk in godliness. Right at the same time, on the earth, Satan is doing his own thing. Woe on the inhabitants of the earth. And you see this. So when you look out, when you look at the world, look at the news, you see these things. You see a lot of what Satan is doing. It's the majority, is the news. And then occasionally you see God doing something. Or he's doing it. He's doing it in the lives of individuals. He's doing it in churches. He's doing it in nations. I'll give you a good example. Pastor gave us this wonderful example. In Nigeria, it was the kingdom in April. Give God a clap of it. Amen. It was the kingdom of God. What didn't they say? People left, flew out, flew their children out, closed down shop. People like us, we don't have any choice. We stay here. It's our nation. We're going to fight for it. You have a choice. We make ourselves as if we have no choice. We have a choice, but there's no. We're not going to give nation up to the devil. We're going to fight for it. We refuse satanic domination. Amen. And we dare to look him in the eye and say that we will take it from him because we have the authority. So we're not. God is raising up a company. It's a man-child company. And you are a part. I'm a part. And we have to stand our ground. You have to stand your ground. Gone are the days where you stay where you are. Now you run like David towards Goliath. You take the battle to the gates. You have to take the battle to the gates. Because you know what? He's not staying in one place. He's coming at you. And so I'm going to run faster than that. I'm going to hit him in the air. And knock him out in the forehead. In the mind. Because right now, the battle has moved to the mind. And men are finding out that physical weapons can only do so much. Intellectual things can only go so far. But spiritual things will always work every time. And that's where our strength is. Our strength is in who we are. Our strength is in being conformed to the image of Jesus. Our strength is in our rising and shining with the glory of God. Our strength is making sure that the light of God overcomes the gross darkness and is there for the taking. Amen. And so you see God moving. There was a story on the news 2 days ago. There was a lady and her baby. They were in a plane carrying fish. And the plane crashed. Can you believe that? The plane crashed and the pilot died. But the lady and her daughter survived. That's God. They were in the jungle for 4 days. Drinking coconut water. Before they found them. Tell me that's ordinary. It's not ordinary. You just saw God working. Kingdom. It may not be her that prayed, but God diverted the power to her. He has a purpose for her and her baby. Amen. The other day, like you well know, we heard that a young man went into a church and shot 9 people, but out of that seeming disorder, that seeming horrific crime, the people stood in court, the families, looked him in the eye, and told him, "You've taken something precious from me, but I forgive you." They didn't understand it, though. These people on CNN, they didn't understand. I mean, they know it's Christian, but it struck them. It's a loud message. You know what? It's kingdom. It's God. It's not easy. Nobody's going to beg you. You've lost someone very dear to you. Nobody can tell you what to say. You have to say what is in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth has to speak. So it's God. It's kingdom and righteousness on the inside. And then, of course, you know what happened in Nigeria. So we see God moving. But at the same time, Satan is fighting. And he's fighting very vigorously and very subtly. He's a wily foe. Very smart, very subtle. He's using sorcery. Sorcery. Revelations 18:23. Sorcery. He's releasing spiritual power into the air. And I want you to know, brethren, the form of man is the form of a slave. Man is a slave to spiritual forces. I know you think you're the one in control of your mind, but I have news for you from the Word of God. What you are thinking in your mind, it depends on what forces are dominating you at that time. It is the form of a slave. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he took up the form of God, the form that dominates, and took the form that is being dominated. Adam gave that authority over to the devil. All mankind is under satanic dominion. Look at Revelations 18:23. Thank you. "And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall no more be heard at all in thee. For thy merchants by the great men, for by thy..." I can't hear you. "For by thy..." Who are what? Some nations. Only unbelievers. All nations. All nations. You can be born again and still be under that domination. That's not our portion, and that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Look at Ephesians 2:2-3. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the spirit that now walketh in the children of..." Spirit there means influence. It's power. On Sagbara, he's releasing forces. It's operating. Next verse. "Among whom also we..." I can't hear you. "We..." Some. "All." Most. "A few." "Had our conversation," manner of life, "in time past, in the loss of our..." Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the... Your flesh feels something, it sends a signal to your mind. Your mind thinks it. It's all coordinated. Attack. And that's Satan. "And were by nature..." You're giving me the amplified. "And by nature, the children of wrath." Okay, so it's important for you to understand that there is a war, and it's a subtle war. Yes, he's causing things to happen, but the most important thing is that he's working in the mind and he's doing some specific things. He is accusing the brethren. He is accusing righteousness and anybody that stands for righteousness. He is twisting values. He is changing values, twisting minds. Respectable intellectuals will come out with statements that absolutely contradict the Bible. Men who are accomplished, whom you and I would think ought to know better, is not ordinary. It is supernatural. And so, apart from that, he's also bringing perplexity on the earth. Bible talks about great distress in Luke 21, 25 to 28. Okay? And you know, he's releasing that force and that power. Now, the question is, where are we living in our mind? Because that's the key, brethren. Now, note, first of all, that you cannot have any control over your mind if God doesn't have your spirit. Now, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything. Satan is the bully. He's the one that does things by force, whether you like it or not, and just releases the force and takes over. But God asks your permission. God requires our free will as part and parcel of everything he's doing. So, you know, you need to be close to him. That's that beautiful song. You know, we need him all. We need to be desperate for God. Because without him, you are on enemy territory. You are totally surrounded in the air. We are sitting ducks. If Satan had the power, he would have done what he wanted to do long ago. It's because he doesn't have. God has released another power that is greater than his power. And is keeping us in his name. We'll come to that later. He's keeping us in the power of that name. So Satan is not able to do what he wants to do. But it's so important to understand that, you know, the mind is the trap. The will is the trap door, but the mind is where the battle is. And you know, you read stories every day. You know, the other day, there were coordinated attacks in Tunisia and France at the same time. It's the devil. I know it's whereby planned it, they planned like that. But it's the devil that makes a man sit down and be thinking, how can I bomb? How can I kill? How can I maim? How can I go to a beach and look at people that are on the beach and I take my gun and I just pray them? That has to be the devil. It's not ordinary. How can you take somebody and cut off his head? What? How can that happen? I shudder. It's not ordinary. There is a spiritual emboldenment. And this is no big deal. I do it every day. Do it. I will help you. Do it. But right as that gross darkness is there, there is gross light. Amen. And we must arise. It is vital. We need to arise. And the question is, where are we living in your mind? Are you living under the influence of Zion in the heavens? That is your heavens. This is your heavens. You know, God does things in threes. Okay? This is the heavens. Will, mind, emotions. The three heavens. And where are you? Or are you living on the earth? That's the key. And in Proverbs 31:30. Are you getting something out of this? Amen. Right. Look at Proverbs 31:30. It says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But the woman that fear the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, of course, in the manifold wisdom of God, this refers to the church. Because the woman is the church. Okay? And it's telling you that favor is deceitful. Beauty, let me put it this way. Physical things are vain. They don't last. They depreciate with time. And they cannot stand in this spiritual warfare. You can ask the allies, you can ask America in Iraq. It doesn't last. There's so much you can do with physical weapons. intellectual and emotional. And maybe that may be better, in that wisdom is better than weapons of war. So wisdom is actually better. But at the same time, intellectual wisdom is limited. Because we see the people who ought to know, people who are accomplished in their respective fields, people who are respected, talking absolute heresy and doing it with confidence. And guess what? People are clapping. And if you say something that is different, people will say, "Huh, you are intolerant." Recently, you heard it. In America now, they've legalized same-sex marriage. So the 12 states in America who did not legalize it, that law now overrides. Can you imagine? The founding fathers will be turning their grave. Okay, but I know the American church is rising up to it, and they understand that it's the devil. Amen. But what are we saying? We are saying that there are levels. There's the physical, there's the intellectual, there's the spiritual. A battle at the spiritual level can only be fought with spiritual weapons. A battle at the spiritual level can only be fought with spiritual weapons. If you go there with your intellect, you will fall flat on your face. If you go there with physical weapons, you will not even survive. And that's why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amplified. Thank you. This was our memory verse in school. For the weapons of our warfare are not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and then destruction of strongholds. Next verse. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of the Word of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. That is spiritual weapons. It will work 10 times out of 10 in every battle. And you see it working for Jesus. Amen. I mean, you see it working for Paul. Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead. Physically, he was left for dead. The brethren gathered around him and released spiritual life. So, and he rose up and went back to preach and do the will of God and complete the work of God that he was doing. That's spiritual weapons. Can't go in this warfare with physical weapons. And that's why we all need to be aware. We all need to open our eyes. We all need to put the effort in. Children, it's time for you to learn these things in the days of your youth. And practice and be proficient in the use of your spiritual weapons. So by the time you are in your teens, you are a spiritual young man. Amen. Bible says, instead of our children shall be our fathers. There will be children in age, but they'll be fathers by spiritual maturity. Yes. This blessing, this promise is for our seed and our seed unto the fourth generation. And we are going to enjoy it in Jesus' name. We have to declare what we believe. And we have to say it and make it come to pass. We cannot afford to go around. Yes, we have the physical. Yes, we have the intellectual. But the Bible says that if you have the kingdom and his righteousness, guess what? God will add the intellectual. He will add the physical. He will add it to you. So the key is not to go looking for the intellectual and the physical. Look for the spiritual. Look for God. God is out looking for God. And Papa Ralph tells us that. Amen. God is out looking for God. There's God in you, and that God in you must be looking out for God. More of you. More of Jesus. I need you more. That's God, you know, and that's the Holy Spirit right there telling you, Lord, through the song that, you know, we need him more. We need to be closer to him. Brethren, there is if something happens and you're looking around and seeing what people are doing before you do what you're supposed to do, you are far from God, though.
you this time, you have to react instantly. Look at what God is saying to you on the inside and arise. You can't be looking on. The answer is not outside. The kingdom of God does not come by observation. But the kingdom is where? Within you. Amen. The kingdom is within. Amen. So we are at war. Gifts, miracles, prosperity, popularity will not substitute for the blood, the word, and the spirit. It will not. And it's a matter of time. And we need to use these weapons to write his name, his character in our hearts and in our minds. Like the Bible says in Hebrews 8:10. That's the covenant. That's where we're going. That's our inheritance. Hebrews 8:10. Thank you. For this is the covenant that I will make. Let's read it together. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Which days is he talking about? These days. Saith the Lord, I will put my law into their and I will write it into their heart. And I will be to them a... If God is to you a God, who can say anything against you? Who can stand? The Bible says, if God be for us, who? It's a rhetorical question. Who can be against us? But no, you have to allow him to write that law and put that law in your mind, write it in your heart, because that is when you truly become his. And then he can now truly become your God. He's the God of everybody. I know the way God is. He's very nice. His sun shines on the good and the one that is not good. He does that. But if you really, really want the blessings, they are at the deep end. Amen.
Amen.
And partial commitment, no back and forth, is not going to cut it. We need to go all out. Burn the bridge behind you. So there is no way to go back. Amen. Burn the bridge and go forward. Forward ever, backward
ever.
We're an army. We're an army. This is army now. There is no, everything is instruction. Yes, sir. What's instruction? As it's not, but I'm feeling like, but supposing, but can't we just, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, this is what I feel like. I have a relationship with you. I can tell you what I feel like. But I understand that this is the instruction. Help me. That's what we need to do, brethren. The day of giving excuse for not praying. We will pray, we will sleep. It's not going to cut it to the kingdom of heaven suffers. Give me that scripture, Matthew 11:12. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. Matthew 11:12. Read that. That thing tells you something if you look at it carefully. Thank you. Amplified. Thank you. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. There's been this war before you were born. You were born into this war. You were born into, and there is no discharge. There is no truce. There is no, please, I'm your jaw. Oja, you are in the war. So why don't you fight? There's no point. If you fight, if you don't fight, you are still in the war. So might as well go with your guns blazing and blast Satan out of the sky, out of the heavens over your life, lives of your children, and enforce the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Says he endured violence and violent men that reject Satan's dominion, they are violent men. That to be violent. Mugba. Nonsense. I reject it. Jesus didn't die for this. He didn't give up his life for this. He didn't. And it's going to, in my own life, he will see the travail of his soul. I will not agree. And you stand your ground. And you seize it. The Bible says, you get it from him. If you make up your mind. But no, the Bible says that, no, a strong arm, man when he's armed, when he keeps his goods are in peace. But when he's stronger than him. What are you talking about? You are coming in the name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
You are, the Bible says, greater is that than he that's in the world. You will take from him that whole armor of darkness,
all those thoughts, desires, you take it. You seize it.
No, when you were in secondary school, when a senior seizes something, was it on? When a senior sees something, seniors, they can do and undo. If they see something from you, the only thing you can have is that you can go and supplicate another senior. That they can beg them. It's gone. Kiss it goodbye. Give me the key to your locker. What will you say? You won't give it. I will tell my housemaster. Housemaster is not there. They will open it. You'll be begging them. And please leave the gari for me. And if you talk too much, they will slap your face. On top of your key, on top of your locker, on top of your gari, and your cornflakes. What they do? They seized it. Egbaju Satan. A seizer. It is your own. Seize it from him. Collect it from him. Seize it by force. Spiritual arms. Use spiritual weapons and seize it from him. And it says, and as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom. But how is it sought? With the most ardent zeal and what? Intense exertion. Brethren, this is where it's at. Ardent zeal. Intense exertion. Go out of your way. All out, both guns blazing. No middle ground. No quarters asked. No quarters given. It's a war. And we need to have that mentality. Amen. 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 All right. So, and you know, that's the message. This message really is to motivate us to be heavenly minded and to take the battle to the gates. Amen. Now, why should we exercise godliness? Well, because God commands us. It's a command. Remember that this is an army. God loves you. You are his child. Okay. But you are also a soldier. The Bible says that as soldiers, you know, we should stand in the grace. How does it say it in the book of stand, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You have to be strong. So it says here, God commands us to arise and shine with the light from his word. Look at Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 2. Thank you. Let's read together. Arise, shine, for thy light is. So it tells you that the light is what is going to enable you to arise and shine. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Next verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness thee, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and his glory. We are expecting that double glory. It's a double glory. And God is going to, that double glory is going to arise upon us in this house in Jesus' name. It will come upon the Zion church. It will come upon the universal church by the grace of God in the name of Jesus. Okay? So that is the word of God to us. You know, and it's a command, brethren. We need to arise. We need to arise. Is the time is far spent. No, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Armor, there is an armor of light. Light is an armor. Amen. When he talks about light, we're talking about, when he says light has come, talking about revelation insight from the word of God. It's an armor. Bible says a man's wisdom, light, makes his face to shine. And the boldness of his face will be changed. Yes, when you know the beginning and the end of something, you're not trying, you're not experimenting. When Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, the people that didn't have the light, they were feeling, bros, am I take it easy? But you know, roll away the stone. Light. It's an armor. Bible says, arm yourselves with this mind. 1 Peter. Arm yourself. So, what's going on in your mind? You, this armor is an armor you put on in your mind. It's an armor. Amen. So, we must consistently submit to instructions from his word through the Holy Spirit and oversight. Of course, if you are not faithful in submitting to the instructions that a man gives you, how on earth will God give you instruction direct?
You have to be faithful in that which is under man's. You have to be faithful in obeying and listening to men. Samuel had to be faithful in listening to Eli and obeying Eli. And it was after, and only after, was when God then spoke to him direct. Some of us wonder why God doesn't talk to us. Well, check. How obedient are you to instruction? How submissive are you to instruction? God will not talk to you if you are not going to do what he says. He's not... Amen. Yes. And God spoke through Eli's voice. And that has happened to me. It's not even funny. You know, if you are contemplating something foolish. The other day, I was... I won't tell you what it is. Alright. I was thinking something foolish. I had a dream. I didn't know it was a dream. I thought I was awake. And I had pastor's voice. What nonsense! Ah! Motajirija! Ah! I knew without a shadow that that's the wrong thing to do. I said, yeah, loud and clear. Loud and clear. I get it. I understand it. I'm not going to go there. you know, God does that thing sometimes. It hasn't happened to me just once. Like just, ah. But it was clear in my ear. What nonsense. Oh no, thank God. Do you understand? So submission to instruction is critical. When you hear messages in church, pastor is preaching, he's telling you this is an end time prophetic word. Take out your Bible and write. You need to obey. It's not the writing that will help you necessarily, but writing helps because your memory may not capture everything. If you write, you need to go back to it. And if you don't write, fine. No, but I suggest that you write. Because when you write and you go back, the Holy Spirit will give you fresh light that your pastor didn't even talk about when he was talking in the message. Bible says, in their light, we see light. See, light is God-given. You can't take it. God has to give it. Bible says, no man can receive anything. There's some things. See, spiritual things, you can't take it, just take it like that. When he says take it by force, you're taking it from the devil. But you can't take it from God by force. Give it to me. It doesn't work like that. He has to release it to you. So you have to be nice. Submit. Obey instruction. Then God may say, okay, maybe, should we? Okay, give him. That's the way it is. There's nothing, you don't take things by force from God. You submit. No, well, you know, sometimes in our childish thinking, you know, when we have options and we take decisions, you have an option. That you have a choice, but you don't really have a choice. I know you have a choice, but you don't really have a choice. You have only one choice, to do the will of God. Any other will is darkness. It is. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So if God is light, then anything outside God is what? Darkness. It's as simple as that. But many times we will say, I will still use it to serve God. That's what Saul did. He disobeyed an instruction. And he said, I will use it to serve God. They didn't ask you to do that. When you have an instruction, it doesn't leave room for your imagination and begin to innovate on an instruction. Obey the instruction. Amen. Alright. Okay. So, and I want us to see an example here of Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Yesterday we were praying, and Brother Williams was really, there was this, I knew he had revelation insight about the name, you know, and, you know, it just sparked something in my heart. Bible says, let's Philippians 2:5, says, let this mind be in you. This is the kind of mind God wants us to have, which also was in Christ. How many people want this kind of mind? You need to get it, and the hand needs to be up. Amen. All right, next verse. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So it was his right. It wasn't robbery. It was his right. It was something that he had. Okay, next verse.
But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. This was in by agreement, by mutual agreement in the Godhead. They agreed that one of them would come in the form of man in the plan of redemption before time, before man was even created. So Jesus agreed to that plan. And when the time came for the plan to be executed, he submitted to it, irrespective of the fact that he was God. Equals. Not one no more than another. It's, they are all equals. Equal in character, equal in power, but they have chosen to be interdependent on one another. And that's where God is taking us in Jesus' name. But we see the example here that Jesus means that he didn't think of what people say. But that's what we do. We listen to what people say. And then we don't submit. You don't submit to your husband. You don't submit to your wife. You follow the norms and the traditions. You don't submit to your colleagues. Nobody can talk to you except someone who's above you. And you know they have the authority. Or you know what they're saying is correct. And it's backed by the word of God. Who are you? This is the mind you're supposed to have. And he took upon the form of a servant. The Amplified calls it slave. And was made in the likeness of men. You would have thought that, I've tried. I mean, for me to, you know the form of God? Can you imagine the form of God? Pastor thought of about God. You know? The heavens are his throne. Earth, all the solar system, all the galaxy, all the Jupiter, everything that, all the, everything. All the that is one that is expanding, footstool. It's all footstool. You can imagine the actual size. It was a great act of benevolence and love and humility. But he didn't stop there. When he next verse, when he became a man, he did what again? Humbled himself. Since brethren, there's no end to humility. Is a proactive weapon. We live constantly, proactively in humility. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Next verse. Wherefore, God also did what? Hath highly exalted him. And had given him a... Now, he already had the name. But now, he earned the name. He obtained it, like Pastor taught us many, many years ago, by inheritance and by conquest. He obtained it. As the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. And gave him a name which is above every name. Next verse. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven. And of things in earth. And of things under the earth. Next verse. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He had that name because he had that mind. And he kept exercising that mind in obedience, in humility, until he fulfilled and finished his course. You will finish your course in humility in Jesus' name. You will graduate that course in Jesus' name. You will not drop on the wayside, though. You will finish it in Jesus' name. Apostle Paul said, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. So there's some people that don't finish, but you will finish in Jesus' name. Amen. So that, you know, when you finish, then you then have by experience. We have the name. We use the name. Okay? But when you have exercised yourself to the point where his name has become your name. You have become the name. Then you then have the authority to use the name and things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth will bow to the sound of your voice. I hope you got it. See, there is name. Like, you're using the name.
kiyan ya nkan lo. Okay, it's good. But you can get to a point in God where you are joint heir. God made it available. You couldn't take it if you wanted to. He's the one that in his benevolence and love, he made it available for us to be joint heirs with God. So if you exercise yourself, then things in heaven and on earth under the earth will begin to respond to what you say in the name of Jesus. So you are still using the name, but now the unlimited power, which is the power of the Spirit without measure. The unlimited power now begins to work when you talk. Elijah said, "There shall not be rain, but by my voice." But at my word. It was at his word. He didn't say, in God's name. And when he 3.5 years, there was no one. And when he wanted there to be rain, he made it, and then there was rain again. Name. It's that same name. Amen. God will enable us to enjoy the name in Jesus' name. Amen. And now in case, we are now following his example. God expresses us to follow Jesus' example. Let's go to, we're moving for time. So Philippians 2. Verse 12. Now give me the rest in the Amplified. Thank you. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed, see why it's important to obey, my suggestions and instructions. So by the time you are obeying suggestions, what do you do with instruction? That one is an order already now. When you are obeying suggestions, that's what we should be doing, you know. When Pastor and Mommy suggest, your pastor suggests something to you. Unknown by sorrow, one appeal. You are saying that is a suggestion. Oh, so we can share. One can so we what that means is this, you know, your pastor is talking to you, Mommy is talking to you, or they're talking to you and they are suggesting something to you. They're not giving you an instruction. And you are looking at it like, I can take it or I can leave it. You're supposed to take it. See, as you have always obeyed my... As you have always obeyed my... Yes! Let me tell you something. At the end of that suggestion, the Burubas have been saying, Oragba. You can finish it. They say the words of the elders. If it doesn't come to pass in the morning, by evening time. So when they give you a suggestion, just take it. What do you have to lose? Maybe it's the will of God you want. Is it not the will of God you want? In Jesus' name, amen. So now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation. It's telling us what to do. With what? And in bracket, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of God. Give God a clap of you. This is what we are supposed to do. Reverence or trembling. Attitude. Self-distrust. He that trusteth in his heart is a what? Fool. Spiritual fool. And that's what's happened to the world. We trust in our heart. Trust in what we can see. Trust in what is in the bank account. Trust in the things that you know. Trust in your knowledge. You lean on it. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to create a distrust and trust only what is in the word of God and God himself. And that's not based on the word. Don't lean on it because it can fall. Remember, we're living in an evil time. The storm is coming. The flood will come. The rain will come. The wind will come. It's only those things that are found on the word that will stand. So you can't afford to hold on to anything that is not in line with the will and the word of God.
It amazes me. Mommy wants to do the wedding of her daughter, and she goes to God and finds out, how does this help the kingdom? How does this work with the kingdom? And then she comes out with a theme. She links it to the kingdom. It's not just a wedding. I want it to matter in the kingdom. I want the kingdom to have a part in the wedding. Weddings. Amen. That's the mentality. Don't do anything out for yourself. Link it to God. Let God have a stake, like Anna did. Okay, I will. If you give me, I will give him back to you. Bring God in on it. What is it that you are hiding away? What is it that you are keeping away? Will it stand in this evil time? Self-distrust with serious caution. Tenderness of conscience. Don't be braggado. No, nobody can tell me. Nah. Timidly shrinking away from anything that will offend God. This is intimacy. This is fellowship and relationship with God. Amen. And God is going to bring us there. Amen. That's why God is showing you. So you can see it, and then you can start exercising yourself towards that goal. Amen. Next verse. Not in your own strength. Isn't it like God to tell you to do something and then help you to do it? Amen. So, for it is God who is all the while. When you thought it was yourself, it was God. All the while, effectually at work in you. Doing what? I can't hear you. Energizing and creating. When you didn't feel like, God will create in you the what? Power and the desire. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure as you obey instruction. And then you go beyond that to do it, and his satisfaction and delight. The one they didn't ask you to do. I'll build you a house. Like David did. This is loving God. I will build you a house. But you cannot go there until you have first obeyed instruction. That's why disobedience to instruction is a recurring decimal. You have to overcome it. We have to obey instruction. We have to, all of us, including myself. Amen. We have to obey instruction. Okay? Next verse. Do all things without and fault finding, and that's the accuser, the characteristics of the accuser inside us. Grumbling. Fault, it's not my fault. He's the one that did it. It's not me. I only have 5% fault. He has 95%. I'm not. Fire your defense attorney. Okay? Stop and stop grumbling. You know, this. If you do what verse 13 says, walking in reverence and awe, you know, with trembling, you will overcome these things. Amen. It says, do all things without grumbling and, let's say it now, grumbling and fault finding and complaining against. And guess what? Against those in authority over you, okay? Because they represent God. Don't do it outside, though. It's always inside. But you know what? It's in your mind. It's taking up space. It's delaying the kingdom from coming to pass. So if you have it there, don't rest in the security. There's no security. Satan knows what is in your mind. He knows what is in your mind. You know, he's going to show. He knows what is in your mind. So the key is that you should, whatever is in your mind, you need to understand, it's open for all to see. It's not hidden. We live this life where we hide what is in our mind. And Satan has deceived us, and nobody knows what is in your mind. Who said? The physical people, yes. But the spiritual people can tell what's going on in your mind. And that's why sometimes we don't like to be close to them. Hello? Because, you know, because when you're around them, you have to check yourself. You can't be natural. You know, you have to make sure, let me just stay.
Let me just, you know, it reminds me of that servant with the one talent. Let me do anything. I don't know what they will say again. Let me just, you give an impression of being where you are not. Whereas if you are yourself, they will correct you. Those things, they can see it, but if they tell you, you will argue and say it's not there. So, secret love. Which one is better? Open rebuke. So I'm saying, this is what God is talking about. Mind. Let's clean out our mind. Let's allow God access to our mind. The hidden recesses of your mind. Those places where you think all those thoughts. Open it up. Open it up so that God can blow on it and bring health and sanity to that mind. Amen. All right. Again, it's going to question and doubt among us. The next verse. That you may show yourselves to be what? When he has healed it and corrected it, you will show yourself to be what? Blameless and what? Guileless. Innocent and what? Uncontaminated. Children of God without? What you will be? Faultless. Unrebukable. In the midst of a crooked and wicked generation. A spiritually perverted and perverse. Among whom all you are seen as bright stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. Give God a super hand. Amen. That's where God is taking us to. That's where he's taking us to. Without blame. So you know what? If you want to be without blame, take the blame for everything. I'll say it again. If you want to be without blame, take the blame. Something that was doing you and someone, it's not your fault. Maybe there's something I could have done. Take it. In principle, take it. Kofi Nura. And let God talk to you. God will now show you how you could have done the same thing and that thing would not have happened. But if you didn't take the blame, you will never learn it. It is so important. Mommy has this thing, she says, before honor is what? Humility. It's humility. It's humility. I remember one time when mommy came out here, can't forget, years ago, and apologized for not being a good mother. Mommy that will run, do everything. I was only, people were like, what's she talking about? What she said? And she was weeping. If it wasn't that she was weeping, maybe I would have laughed and said, this is a joke. You know, but that thing, it broke something in this house. And this house has never been the same again. Many years ago, it brought mommy and the women folk together. And even the hardest of hearts became as flesh from that time forward. Who says humility does not pay? It's in the world they say humility is foolishness. It's in the world. It is wisdom. It is God in operation. You know what it does? It allows God in on the scene. And God is limitless, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. When you allow God on the scene, what will you get? You will get God results. But the world has told us, look at yourself. I don't care what people say. We do not seek the honor that comes from man. We must get to that point, brethren. We do not seek the honor that comes from man. We seek the honor that comes from God only. But it's a growth process. You have to exercise yourself in reverence and awe. Stop trusting in yourself. Start exercising yourself, in with serious caution, walking circumspectly, obeying instruction, going beyond what you have been asked to do. And as you do it progressively, then you will be able to walk in the experience of it and be blameless, guileless, unrebukable. It's going to be my portion in Jesus' name. It's going to be your portion in Jesus' name. Oh. Amen. All right. So that's what God wants us to be. All right. Verse 16. Holding out to it and offering to all men the word of. So that's the word right there. It's the word that does all this work inside us. Amen. so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exalt I need to rejoice and glory, in that I have not run my race in vain or spend my labor to no purpose. We will not spend labor to no purpose in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But remember something. Mommy said something one day. We were talking. And she said, you know, some people will say, I made a lot of sacrifice to come to a point. And we make a lot of sacrifice to get to a particular point A. But then we feel that sacrifice is so great that's the only other sacrifice I'm going to make forever. I'm not going to continue in it. And if you don't continue in it, you know, you won't get to this expected end. And you will not be like, God is a liar. But God, let God be true. And let every man be a... You have to continue. You have to continue. You can't say, see what I've done. Past glory. You have to forget the things that are past. And press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. There is a prize, brethren. Amen. So we follow his example of proactive obedience. And we experience the fullness of the power and wisdom in the name. And we exercise it in the heavens, in the earth, and under the earth. That's why we are going to nations after the glory. Amen. Amen. Get ready. Iraq, here we come. Tunisia. They will send you to Tunisia in Jesus' name. You didn't say amen. God saw your heart. Amen. All right. Now, the other reason is that if you look at Philippians 3:20, it's the mind and the lifestyle of people that are in the heavens that experience the glory. Philippians 3:20. Give it to me. Yes. Give it to me in the... Yes, just leave it in KJV. For our conversation is where? Our way of life. Our way of life is not on the earth. Don't do things everybody else is doing. Look at the word pattern. That's what mommy does. Even wedding, word pattern. Okay? That's what it's supposed to be. Everything must be built according to the pattern. God told Moses, and God is telling you and I, see that thou build it according to the pattern. Our children must be built according to the pattern. Don't do your own thing. And they are my children. They are your children, but God's children. And you owe it to God to bring them up according to the pattern. Amen. Somebody needed that. Amen. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's who we are looking for. Don't look for things. Look for Him. What do you think about most of the time? Look for Him. In your mind. What is your mind on? Look for Him. Meditate on Him. You know, meditate on Philippians 2:5. You know, let His mind be in you. Meditate on that. Meditate on Hebrews. The Bible says, obey and submit those in authority over you. The Bible says that let your conversation be without covetousness. For I have said, I have never leave you nor forsake you. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. You have to meditate. You deliberately put these thoughts in your heart. Put the word in your mind. Put the word in your mind. Particularly the ones, the word that deals with areas that you and I know that Satan has been having victory in your mind. Unforgiveness. Then put the word there. I am quick to forgive. I am quick to repent. I release them. I relate to all men in wisdom without bitterness. Put the word. Think it. And set your mind free. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, next thing is how. So, how do we exercise godliness? First thing, like I said earlier, you must become born again. To as many as received Him, John 1:12, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Alright? Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So we need to walk in the counsel of the godly. The first thing is that you need to be born again. Your spirit needs to be alive so that you can be connected to God in the spirit. Amen. Next thing is we need to be submitted to oversight. Amen. Jesus submitted to His mother and to the word through the Holy Spirit. With what? Reverence, awe, and trembling. Can you imagine the day in Cana in Galilee? Jesus didn't think so. We know He didn't think so initially. when his mom said, whatsoever he says, that says they have no wine. It's like, he will look on overload. I mean, they have no wine. Which one is my own? Really have no wine. I'm sorry, I don't understand. In thought again, she's my authority. And that's how we should be, brethren. She's my authority. Don't do what you like. Just boldly, just misbehave. She could be right too. Okay, let me submit. And in that instance, God just spoke to him. And the same person that said, what do I have to do with thee? Now said, fill the water pots. It's so important. If it was like that for Jesus, how much more for us, brethren? We need to submit. Submission and obedience, they are core courses. Core courses, compulsory, that nobody is graduating from. Amen. For him to be able to inherit the name, he had to submit to his mom, somebody he made. He submitted to John the Baptist, somebody he made. And said, suffer it to be so for now. Submitted. He would ask his disciples for advice. How should we do this? How should we feed these people? It's not always a test. And I see that with Pastor and Mommy a lot. What do you think? I was wondering, what do I think? I can't say I really didn't think about it. You know, so now I learn to think ahead. And I'm thinking, so because I maybe ask, what do I think? What's my opinion? No, it's true. And you know what? It has helped me think ahead. See, when you walk with the wise, what happens to you? You become wise. So walk with them. They're available to all of us. Amen. Walk with them. Be close to them. Let them know what's going on in your life. Because, you know, they ask, what do you think? What do I think? What do I think about that? And I say, what do I think? And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I go and check my heart. And say, God help me, I need to grow. Amen. See, you're not going to make anything if you don't make mistakes. We're not going to make anything if we don't make mistakes. You can't get it all perfect. It's a process. Like one of the children said yesterday. Somebody asked, yes, the just man falls 7 times. And does what? Rise again. But it comes to time when he walks straight, like Jeshurun. So you have to exercise. It's an exercise. Everybody say the word. Exercise. Let's say it again. Exercise. One more time. Exercise. Beware of Satan's sorcery, because he's sowing sorcery to sow doubt in our hearts regarding authority. If you look at the end of the book of Romans, you see all the characteristics of the people that are under sorcery: unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents, covenant breakers, liars, implacable. You can't talk to them. Nobody can talk to them. You better let God, somebody, be able to talk to you. Is the voice of God. Put yourself in a place where people can talk to you. Amen. Number 3, frequently confess sin and clean with the blood. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. Quickly. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Next verse. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse. So important. The reason we confess our sins frequently is not because we're sin conscious, it's because we want to maintain a continual, unbroken connection with God. Amen. So we clean that connection ever so often. The way you clean a table, so much that you clean so frequently that there's no dust on it. Same way you clean a conscious so that it's always open. Don't depend on your memory. I have not sinned in the past 1 hour. Who told you? You know, when I was younger, I used to like to keep a record. No, I can't remember anything I've said that is wrong. God has helped me today. What stupid record? All such righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. Stop it. I'm telling you, I've been there.
It's not good. It's pride. Confess your sin frequently to maintain. That's the only way your righteousness comes. It's not your own righteousness. It is Jesus' righteousness. And he has given it graciously to you. Why are you trying to establish your own? Your own can never be enough. It is filthy rags. Drop it by the wayside and take his own righteousness. Clean your heart with the blood and be connected. Amen.
Amen.
Connect to God. And you know what happens? There is a flow. There must be a continuous, unbroken flow of the life of God. That's the key. Life flowing in you. And then, of course, you also do it for the people around you. Amen. Okay. Next thing is you ask for life. Frequently. These are things that you do frequently. You clean with the blood. We do it at least once every 6 hours. But I want to take them together. You clean with the blood. You ask for life. That's in John 20, 31. Let's turn there. Pastor has taught us this in the last one of sermons like 2 weeks ago. Kingdom and Righteousness. And also the weekly Rema. You need to be reading weekly Rema. It's a lifeline. I'm just dropping that. You must read weekly Rema.
Amen.
Amen. Brethren, you must have the mind of Christ. Weekly Rema is meat. Meat that will cleanse your soul. It will clean your heart out. You will see yourself. This is my life. And you will correct it. Amen. Shebi is to get better. There's no point deceiving us and say we are somewhere where we are not. So you go to the word, you know, and you go there. The Bible says, he that falls upon the rock shall be what? Broken. But unto him that the rock falls upon, it will grind him to powder. I choose to fall on the rock. So go listen to messages, you know, make sure you do that, okay? John 21, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's why we say in Jesus' name we have. So Father, I confess my sins, I'm so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name I have life. That's what I've just said. And next is now is to pray in tongues and pray with travail. Galatians 4:9 talks about, say my 4:19, my neutron of my travail again. So as you travail, the Christ is being formed inside you. And as you pray in tongues, like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, when you pray in tongues, you are speaking spiritual language and you're releasing the wisdom of God into your mind, into your soul. So you can operate with the mind and the ability of Christ. It's very important. It's very important so that we can actually operate the kingdom and righteousness and walk in that righteousness, walk in that light that God wants us to walk in. And we do it at least once every 6 hours. You know, consistent feeding on the apostolic and prophetic word is also important with balanced Bible reading. I've mentioned that. And then, of course, washing feet, forgiving, asking life for and praying for others. Same thing you do for yourself, you do it for others. So the beauty of it is, as you are doing it for yourself, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood. You've already put people in it. Amen. So when you now pray in the Spirit, then you can, in your thoughts, you can think about the people. Just think about people. And you are releasing life to them. Amen. So that we start to release life and maintain that flow of the life of God. Amen. And that's how God heals us and removes those things that are keeping us earthbound. The accusation. That's the nature of the devil. That keeps us earthbound in our minds. You know, the grave clothes. When you start exercising yourself in these things, in love and mercy and forgiveness, you know, you begin to take ground and you begin to advance the kingdom. Amen. God's going to save the earth by forgiving it. Pastor Papa Ralph said that. You're going to save your home by forgiving the children. By forgiving your spouse. That's the way you're going to do it. You know, forgiveness is one of the ways we advance the kingdom. Amen. All right. And of course, we need to watch our hearts. Watch your heart. Inside our hearts, there's deceitfulness there. Remove it. Every alliance with the world, with the ways of the world, remove it. We need to be holy as he is holy. Amen. And when we do these things, then the power of God comes upon us. Amen. The power of the Spirit without measure. And I want to leave us with a story that really represents this. You know, keeping our minds proactive in forgiveness and love, being proactive in obedience and inheriting the glory. Okay? Now look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 to 23. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the story of Elisha. Now, Elisha, we know, had the double portion. And Elisha lived at Dothan. Dothan is the place of two wells, double portion. Okay? Right, so Elisha lived at Dothan, and let me give you the background to the story. You know, anytime, because Elisha was operating the spirit without measure, double portion, you know, anytime the king of Syria was planning anything, Elisha would know. Elisha would tell the king and say, do this, do this, do that. So they were like, what's happening? What's happening? We cannot get these Israelites. What's going on? Someone said, there's a prophet there. Say, okay, go and capture him. Can you imagine? They didn't know what they were dealing with. Person with double portion. This is you in Jesus' name. As I'm reading it, see yourself. This is you. It is you. It is you and I. Elisha lived under an old covenant. We have the better testament established upon better promises. Look at verse 6. And he answered and said, no. Verse 13. Thank you. God bless you. 13. Yes. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And he was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. Next verse. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by. Satan always comes by night. Comes in darkness. Creeps up on the blind side where there is no light. See? But when you are dealing with people that are walking in the spirit without measure, there is light always. Even when there is darkness, there is light. Amen. And compass the city round about. They didn't compass his house round about. They compass the entire city round about. Because we are looking for one man. That's how precious you are going to be. Amen to God. Alright, next verse. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with what? Horses and chariots. Physical weapons. You want to catch a spiritual man with physical weapons. Let's see what happens. And he said to his master, alas, my master, Oga, once he move out, I'm paraphrasing, okay? What shall we do? Next verse. And he answered, fear not. That's what God is telling you now. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Next verse. And Elisha prayed. That's why Pastor and Mommy are praying for us. Amen. And said, Lord, I pray thee, open his. My prayer is that God will open our eyes in Jesus' name. Amen. And we will see into the spirit realm and know what is important and approve the things that are excellent. Amen. All right. That he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Angels. You have a spiritual army round you. Oh, may we live in the consciousness of a spiritual army. Amen. Live in that consciousness, that awareness. And remember that you don't talk anyhow. No, don't speak anyhow. Don't. I'm not going to give you an example. You know what I mean. Don't talk anyhow. Don't say idle words. Because those words, the angels hearken to the voice of his word. They don't hearken to any word. And when you talk, then you'll be farther from the word. And they will be there looking at you. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's important that there is a spiritual army and we must live in that consciousness. Next verse. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed and said to the Lord. Now this is Elisha now. He didn't say in Jesus' name. He just said the word. Smite these people, I pray, with blindness at his word.
and he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. It wasn't God that told Elijah to say it. It was Elijah that said it. And God did what? Backed it up. Amen. You're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the deep end. We will get to this place in Jesus' name. And you know what he did? So he smote them with blindness. Next verse. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. People that cannot see, what do they know? This is not the way. Neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria, took them to the center of the city center. Go, 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 go. Next verse. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may. As he that openeth a door that no man can shut. He opens when he likes, he shuts when he likes. 1 minute he brings blindness, next minute he takes it away. That is the power of the Spirit without measure. That's where we are going, brethren. That's what we are disciplining ourselves for. We are exercising our minds in, walking in love, walking in mercy. No, he's sitting on the mercy seat, walking in forgiveness. No, he doesn't want to kill them, but wants to pass the message into their mind. And when they open their eyes, and behold, number of some people would have peed in their pants. Okay? Ah! We're in the center of the city. Everybody is surrounding us. Ah! Next verse. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, shall we smite them? That's people living on the earth. When people are living in the heavens are operating, people that are living on the earth, they don't understand. But look at the key here. Elisha and his servants were a type of the man-child company. Father and son. Man and child. And they were ruling in the heavens. Salvation and strength and the kingdom in the heavens. And they were exercising that rulership where? On the earth. And then they now were controlling, and they were now intervening in earthly situations, just like we did in Nigeria a few weeks ago. Amen. On the covenant of the fathers. Amen. And then he was now instructing the political leaders and telling them what to do. We're going to get to that point when we'll be, as we are decreeing in the heavens, if it's already happening, when we decree, they'll be saying it. So we're going to see more and more and more of it in Jesus' name. It's ruling in the heavens. But we need to exercise godliness and clean out our minds. So he says, shall I smite them? Next verse. And he answered, thou who shall not smite them. This is not the time to smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? You didn't get these ones by your power. It's God that delivered them into your hand. Treat them with mercy and love. Amen. Set before them bread and water, and they may eat and drink and go to their master. 130 bull. Rice. Begiri. Amala. Ogwe. You did everything. And they ate. I can remember the first Lord Moses, and I said, are they going to kill us when I put this thing in my mouth? And I've been wondering. For love, without guile, guileless, no guile, they ate. Next verse. And he prepared great provision. What if one take away? No, but this is the scripture, brethren. Get them take away, and when they had eaten and had drunk, he sent them away and went to their master. So the bands of Syrians came.
No,
I can't hear you. Came.
No,
one more time. Came.
No,
into the land of. That's permanent victory.
Amen.
God's going to give us permanent victory. Let us pray. Talk to God. Permanent victory by love, mercy, forgiveness. Exercising yourself in godliness. Be proactive in love and obedience. Be proactive in forgiveness and mercy, so you can inherit the glory. Don't be afraid of what we're looking at, brethren. Look at what God is doing. Live in the heavens. Don't live on the earth. Let's confess our sins. Let's repent. All of us need to do it. Repent and ask God to help you. Reverence, awe, and trembling. Do you walk in it? How obedient are you to His good pleasure in His word? To His delight, to His satisfaction, the one He didn't explicitly ask you. You spend time in His presence. The spiritual is your weapon. Strongest asset is the godly mind. Just to be close to you is where I long to be. I now hide myself inside your heart to find my destiny. Every step I take is one less step on me. I'm in your presence, close to you. I'm in your presence, close to you.
Sing it as a prayer. I mean it.
Just to be close to you.
We can be closer.
It's where I'm going to be,
Lord.
I now hide myself inside your heart to find my destiny. Every step I take is one less step I need. I live in your presence.
Left hand on your heart. Now put it on your forehead. It's where our mind is. As we pray, say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that you sent to me today, teaching me and showing me that you want me to dwell in the heavens, to dwell in life, to dwell in love, in mercy, in forgiveness, to practice and exercise myself in godliness that is profitable unto all things, having the promise of this life that now is, and the life that is to come. Heavenly Father, I come to determine, I rededicate myself to submit to authority, to submit to your word, to exercise myself in obedience, to acknowledge you in my ways, to purify my heart and my thoughts, so in my mind you will write your law, in my heart you will put your commandments, in the name of Jesus, causing me to become more like you, blameless, without rebuke, in a crooked and perverse generation. Heavenly Father, I ask you to help me to practice these things, so my light will shine in the midst of gross darkness. I will be a bright light shining with a double glory under the covering of said fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rakakombe de debo sata, mako sefreki kokai, ropa kakokombe, jefreke kobadera tut, rapa kateba satose, jelalama padera, rode dobo, mere de besata, rido pai, pero, resekan, kondea, rode baba baba baba, pavede, ropa pavede, rode de besata, jefreke kobande de de, rapa katela, medobo. Mene de veya, reni mayo, meyo baba, ma bebebe, rebebebe, rosesa, jeframika, renomo, bete, bete, toto, rosesaka, jefrebeela, belebe, toataka, rumbe keko live emotion. Every step I take is one less step I need.